That meditation is from a collection edited by Matthew Fox. In his notes on the piece, he says, Sowell describes for us the letting go process of the via negativa, the negative way. This leads to the place beyond words. The letting go is endless, but it takes us to profound places. Sowell promises us that as we learn to cease striving and be still, the sea itself will come to us and surround us. All distance is traversed. All dualism ceases. Oneing occurs. Have you experienced this oneing yourself? And how does it feel? In his reflections, Steve spoke of experiences in which he witnessed the immense gulf between different populations in our world, that lack of oneness, a gulf that is only growing as our ability to innovate technology increases, and the very valid attention being paid to STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, is redirected at the expense of the humanities, philosophies, and religious studies. Now, one area is not inherently, intrinsically better than the other. What they do is they inform and they shape each other when you hold them in tension, when you use them to look at the other. Steve's identity as a Unitarian Universalist, his commitment to living into our principles, gave him the insight to both appreciate the technology in his hand as a positive tool for fostering connections and the joy of community, while at the same time recognizing how it was at the same time preventing him from helping someone experiencing great distress. The hymn that we chose to follow Steve's reflection this morning was chosen deliberately because of its particular message that is far from the truth for millions of people in our national communities and billions of people around the world. It takes the time to mention creatures of high and lowly birth, but fails to acknowledge that such categories are more often than not human constructions of systems that keep the power with the already privileged and disenfranchise those who are born into such a hierarchy. It totally ignores that life and the struggles within life for so many are not a precious gift, are not the greatest gift, but are, in fact, an endless stream of disappointments and suffering. And telling people living those kinds of lives that they should be grateful just to be alive is making the choice to diminish their narrative, to erase their story. If we, as Unitarian Universalists, are going to sing about life being the greatest gift, then we need to commit ourselves to working to make that true for everyone. The moral arc of the universe only bends towards justice when we make it so. So what does the story of the Tower of Babel teach us about how we can accomplish this? The conventional Western Christian take on this story is that it's about a community driven by arrogance. They realize that they can build a very tall tower, a tower that can reach so high it can touch God, and they want to do so in order to make a name for themselves. And historically, temples for gods were built to acknowledge those gods' space in the sky, not the area on the ground. They were symbolic of something that could not be reached by those born of earth. So this attempt to build a tower offends God because God claims, as Marguerite told us, that if they can do this, then there's nothing they can't achieve. So God decides to scramble everyone's languages so they can no longer communicate. And they become separate communities, and the gulf between all of them grows. That's a pretty crappy thing for God to do, in my opinion. You might agree with me, you might not, but that's not my God. So here's my take on this story for your consideration here today. The people in the community lost touch with each other and became so distant from each other in communication and in experience because they were using their innovation and their gifts as a community for the wrong thing. This community set about to build a tower as high as they could, just because they could. Imagine the resources that must have been put into it. Yeah, there are jobs for a while, but once it's built, what does it do? What does it symbolize? An accomplishment that will stand there and mean nothing as the government is bankrupt from paying for it and the citizens experience massive unemployment. It is not God who breaks this community apart and creates the dissonance between its citizens. It is the people themselves. Imagine instead if the community had thought about what they would build before they did it. Instead of building it just to make a name for themselves, what if, knowing that they are capable of great things that would lead them to innovate and explore, they chose instead to build a thing that would keep them connected when they spread out into the world? What if they invested all those resources and all that time into a structure that would allow them to continue to communicate with each other, to hear each other's stories of both joys and sorrows across time and space? Imagine how strong they would be. Imagine what they could accomplish and what they could overcome. Imagine the larger world they could create. To me, it sounds a lot like the shared values we strive for when we covenant to affirm and promote our seven principles. It also sounds to me really threatening to those who hold and hoard power, like that really crappy God that wants to keep them from knowing what they can achieve. What that God in that story does is the biblical version of a distributed denial of service attack. Now, for those of you in the room who use the internet, you may have experienced one of these and not known it. What happens is that someone decides they want to stop you from accessing Amazon.com or another website for whatever reason. So they create a program that sends so many requests to that site that it can't handle all of those requests, and it overloads and shuts down. When people who want to use the site try to access it, they can't. Your Netflix goes down. Oh my gosh. It's like if somebody is intentionally keeping all the phone lines busy, so people who are actually trying to call out can't make the calls. Or if a group of people decided intentionally to crowd around the entrance to a store to prevent other people from going in and buying the products that the store has to offer. It's frustrating. And oftentimes, the average person doesn't know what's actually happening. They just see, I can't do the thing that I need or want to do. And they take their negative feelings out on the victim of the attack because they don't know what's happening. The website has not only lost its presence in the world, but without awareness of what was really going on, the parts that you can't see, the code in the cloud, its reputation and ability to recover are also affected. And what that God does in the story of the Tower of Babel is a distributed denial of service. He shuts down the people's access to each other, and he makes them think it's their own fault. And he does it because they were going to know their own power to shape the future of the world. We are currently living in an era such as this, where the people in power are using our own innovations to attack our ability to live into our seven principles and make them a reality. Technology is a tool. And all tools are only as good or as evil as the choices people make when using them. Twitter, Facebook, the internet have allowed people to connect in amazing ways, and they have led revolutions across the world, people being able to get news out about what things were happening. At the same time, they've also allowed groups like white supremacists to organize and consolidate their power without us even noticing. And this use of technology and innovation is not new in our human history. While we were planning this service together, Steve showed me something called the Never Again Tech Pledge Statement. This is an excerpt from it. We, the undersigned, are employees of tech organizations and companies based in the United States. We are engineers, designers, business executives, and others whose jobs include managing or processing data about people. We are choosing to stand in solidarity with Muslim Americans, immigrants, and all people whose lives and livelihoods are threatened by the incoming administration's proposed data collection policies. We refuse to build a database of people based on their constitutionally protected religious beliefs. We refuse to facilitate mass deportations of people the government believes to be undesirable. We have educated ourselves on the history of threats like these, and on the roles that technology and technologists played in carrying them out. We see how IBM collaborated to digitize and streamline the Holocaust, contributing to the deaths of 6 million Jews and millions of others. We recall the internment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War. We recognize that mass deportations precipitated the very atrocity the word genocide was created to describe, the murder of 1.5 million Armenians in Turkey. We acknowledge that genocides are not merely a relic of the distant past. Among others, Tutsi Rwandans and Bosnian Muslims have been victims in our own lifetimes. Today, we stand together to say, not on our watch, and never again. The story of the Tower of Babel is a warning to us about where and when we are, right here and right now. As we celebrate the very real, life-affirming, community-building aspects of the technology that we build, we are also witnessing that increasing chasm between communities, a separation that is based on class and resources and healthcare and numerous other things. This separation is perpetuated and enhanced by people with an agenda to attack the nature of objective reality. And these people come from all parts of our lives, across the political spectrum. We cannot categorize them as one or the other. It is systemic and it is pervasive in our culture across the board. Spin masters and fake news, combined with the soundbite attention span, have created a world in which public leaders can blatantly lie and there are no consequences. This is only made worse by the idea that these technological platforms are somehow inherently neutral or apolitical. They're not. They were made and built by humans. They do not stand apart or alone. The Tower of Babel failed and divided the people who built it because they were focusing on the wrong thing. They were building up something just for the sake of building it. Instead of looking up to an empty sky, I would offer today that we should look at the whole setting, the earth and the sea and the sky. That we intentionally take these amazing creations of our own humanity and take that innovation one step further to combine our science with our morality and use both to build a world in which we empower communication and community, We already have the capability to do so much. We are already doing so much. We must keep building to manifest our UU6 principle, our goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. May it be so.